Ressentiment strategy. The 20th century art world again gives prescient examples. Duchamp's urinal sent the message, "Piss on you," and his later works put that general attitude into practice. His version of the Mona Lisa was a clear example, a reproduction of Leonardo's masterpiece with a cartoonish mustache added. That too made a statement. Here is a magnificent achievement that I cannot hope to equal, so instead I will deface it and turn it into a joke. Robert Rauschenberg took Duchamp a step further. Feeling that he was standing in the shadow of Willem de Kooning's achievements, he asked for one of de Kooning's paintings, which he then obliterated and then painted over. That made a statement. I cannot be special unless I destroy your achievement first. Deconstruction is a literary version of Duchamp and Rauschenberg. Deconstruction theory says that no work has meaning. Any apparent meaning can be transformed into its opposite, into nothing, or revealed to be a mask for something distasteful. The postmodern movement contains many people who like the idea of deconstructing other people's creative work. Deconstruction has the effect of leveling all meaning and value. If a text can mean anything, then it means nothing more than anything else. No texts are then great. If a text is a cover for something fraudulent, then doubt about everything apparently great creeps in. That deconstructive techniques are arrayed primarily against works that do not square with postmodern commitments then makes sense. The strategy is not new. If you hate someone and want to hurt him, then hit him where it counts. Do you want to hurt a man who loves his children and hates child molesters? Drop hints and spread rumors that he is fond of child pornography. Do you want to hurt a woman who takes pride in her independence? Spread the word that she married the man she did because he is wealthy. The truth or falsity of the rumors does not matter, and whether those you tell believe you does not really matter. What matters is that you score a direct, damaging hit to someone's psyche. You know that those accusations and rumors will cause tremors, even if they come to nothing. You get the wonderfully dark glow inside of knowing that you did it, and the rumors might just come to something after all. The best portrait of this psychology comes from that very dead, very white European male, William Shakespeare, in his Othello. Iago just hated Othello, but he could not hope to defeat him in open confrontation. How then could he destroy him? Iago's strategy was to attack him where it would hurt most, through Othello's passion for Desdemona. Iago hinted indirectly that she had been sleeping around. He spread subtle lies and innuendo about her faithfulness. He succeeded in raising a doubt in Othello's mind about the most beautiful thing in his life, and he let that doubt work like a slow poison. Like the postmodernists, Iago's only weapons were words. The only difference is that the postmodernists are not so subtle about their intended targets. The contemporary Enlightenment world prides itself on its commitment to equality and justice, its open-mindedness, its making opportunity available to all, and its achievements in science and technology. The Enlightenment world is proud, confident, and knows it is the wave of the future. This is unbearable to someone who is totally invested in an opposed and failed outlook. That pride is what such a person wants to destroy. The best target to attack is the Enlightenment's sense of its own moral worth. Attack it as sexist and racist, intolerantly dogmatic, and cruelly exploitative. Undermine its confidence in its reason, its science, and technology. The words do not even have to be true or consistent to do the necessary damage. And like Iago, postmodernism does not have to get the girl in the end. Destroying Othello is enough.